What's up? How's everybody doing? I hope you're doing great today. You look good. I just turned the lights on. I take that back. I'm just kidding. That was not nice. Hey, listen, I'm hoping that today God really speaks to you, moves in your life, challenges you in a lot of different ways. Prayerfully, he's already done that through worship, and hopefully and prayerfully it's going to happen through the message, all right? Listen, before we dive into our week series of the why behind the what, let me just give you a couple of dates you need to write down, okay? Listen, when we came in and we asked the Civic Center if we could start leasing it on Sundays, they gave us two dates that we could not use it, all right? One of those is October the 16th, which is coming around the corner. It's about a month from now. And then May 21st. May 21st is way down the road. We'll remind you about it one day, all right? May 21st, they've got a gun show, all right? So if you like guns, come to church first and come find you a gun, all right? October the 16th, they have got the Gourd Show. Whatever a gourd is, all right? The gourd show is, like, when I think about the gourd show, I think about my grandpa, like, boy, you got a big old gourd. Like, I feel like there's a bunch of heads laying all over the place. Like, he's talking about your head. But anyway, it's really stupid. But they got the gourd show here, October the 16th. And so on that day, here's what we're going to do at the Coleman campus, okay? Jasper and Arab will go as business, as they always do. But what we're going to do is we're going to go to Heritage Park, and we're just going to have a family fun day, all right? We're going to get together at Heritage Park. We're going to have some inflatables for the kids. We're going to have lots of games lined up. Prayerfully, we'll have some food there for you. Prayerfully, there's going to be lots of things that you can come and be a part of. Come hang out with your small group. Come hang out with your immediate family. Come hang out with your church family. We think it's going to be lots and lots of fun. It's going to be a good time for you. Maybe to get to know some people that you have not got to know yet at your church, okay? And so we're looking forward to it. So put it on your calendar. October the 16th, if you come to church that day, it will be you, Jesus, and a gourd, okay? And so it'll be really awkward, all right? So just come to Heritage Park. We're going to be doing a family fun day that day, October the 16th. Hey, listen, we're in our second week of the why behind the what, and we felt like, since we are starting at a new location, doing something a little different, that we could cast vision again. We do this about once or twice a year. Honestly, we share our vision on a regular basis because we kind of want to keep it before you on a regular basis to help you understand what the vision of our church is. The vision of our church, if anybody was to ever ask you what's the vision of Desperation Church, there's four things that we do, all right? The number one is our vision. Number one is the presence of God, and we believe the presence of God is produced through prayer. So we are a praying church. We pray on a regular basis. Number two, we're all about relationships. We do that through small groups. Number three, we're all about missions. Backyard missions, international missions. We got a team in Guatemala today out working at a feeding home, okay? When I say feeding home, people who don't have food, basically they're helping out there in Guatemala today. So pray for our Guatemala team, 14 people out there today. And so we're always doing missions. And then last, our passion is to get everybody plugged in to the church with the gift that God has given you to use to make the body of Christ strong. And so we call that our DC Connect team. And so everything that we do revolves around those four areas of our church. Everything that we do revolves around those four areas. And so last week, we talked about the good news. Now, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, is basically the verses that God gave us. I'm not going to try to preach my sermon that I preached last week. You can go back and watch that if you were not here. But those are the verses that God gave us. I say that if Jesus was to come back in the 21st century and to plant a church, I would want our church to have the same heartbeat as Jesus' heartbeat is. And so we looked at Isaiah 61. We felt like that these are the people that Jesus went after. These are who he was passionate about, and so this is who we are going to be passionate about in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah coming, Jesus coming. Luke chapter 4, Jesus takes the scroll of Isaiah 61 and he reads it to the religious leaders and basically says that the Messiah is me, the Messiah is here, the prophecy of Isaiah has come alive. And so last week we talked about the good news, how the church is one of the greatest evangelistic tools there is, all right? And so we talked about taking the good news outside, all right? Outside these four walls and watching people give their life to Christ. Majority of people in this room right here more than likely gave your life to Christ inside a church or a church function, some way, form, or fashion. So there's something evangelistic, there's something in the area of discipleship that the church should be doing on a regular basis. And so we talked about that last week. So what I want to talk to you today is I want to talk to you just something very simple, very, very simple. And there's a great possibility if you've been coming to our church for a while, you've heard me preach a message somewhere along the same lines of what I'm going to talk about today. And if you continue to come to our church, eventually you'll hear me preach something along these same lines again on a regular basis, because we believe that these are very, very important at Desperation Church, okay? And so today we're going to talk about the importance of relationships. We're going to talk about the importance of small groups here at our church. The why behind the what. A lot of you know what the what is. What the what? What the what? What the what? All right? What the what is, but a lot of you don't know why we do the what. And so we want you to understand the why behind small groups. We want you to understand the why we plant a Desperation Church. We want you to understand the why we do missions. We want you to understand the why we challenge people to give their life away and to tithe. We want to challenge you with the why of why you honor each other. There's so many whys that we want to answer. And so one of the main questions we asked last week to everybody that we wanted people to chew on during the week, to let it become a question you ask yourself on a regular basis, especially on Sundays, is why are you here? Not like here on this earth, but why are you here at church? Why do you come to church? Is it Southern culture, because that's what we've always done? Or is there a purpose and a meaning behind it? Because, listen, God's never called us to come to church. He's called us to be the church. And so my question to you is, are you being the church, or do you come to church? Because those are two opposite ends of the spectrum. One is right and one is wrong. I think you can figure out which one is wrong and which one is right. And so the question is, are you as a believer being the church? Now, Isaiah 61, I want to read it to you because these are the verses that we're going to be breaking down over the next couple of weeks. And so let me just continue to read these. We're going to put them before you every single week. Let's read these. This is what it says in Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." This is Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, all right? "He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. In their righteousness," okay, "to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild." This is where we get our tagline, rebuild, revive, restore. "They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will," hey, how you doing? "They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations." And so these are the verses that God gave us when we planted Desperation Church, when we started the church and said, "This is who I want you to be." And so last week we talked about verse 1, and we're going to continue in verse 1, but we're going to go to verse 1b. Last week was in verse 1a. Last week we talked about the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Now, this is Jesus speaking about himself. And the one thing that I know about the body of Christ, the church, which is God's creation, God's design, you're going to hear me say this for the rest of my life as a pastor, that we as the church are a representation of Jesus. That we are to carry his character. That we are to be his hands and feet. That we are to carry his nature. That we're to be his ambassadors, his representatives. And so what Jesus looked like, the people that Jesus went after, we as the body of Christ who represents him should look the same way, should do the same things. Why? Because we are followers of Christ. We are little Christ. We are like Christ as the body. And so, today I want to talk to you about the importance of small groups. He says, "To bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released." So, what does small groups have to do with comforting the brokenhearted, to proclaim captives to be released and prisoners to be free? What do relationships have to do with that? Listen, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the Bible's very plain that he sent us the Holy Spirit for the purpose of comfort. We'll talk about that really soon one day, because I think we're going to be doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things, he comforts us, but he also has placed the Holy Spirit in us as believers to help comfort others. If we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus, then God has called us in the area of relationships to comfort other people around us who are brokenhearted. Here's what I know for a fact, is there's not one person in this room, not one person in this room that at some point in your life that you will be brokenhearted some way, form, or fashion. Everybody in this room experiences a broken heart. Everybody in this room will experience tribulation. Everybody in this room will experience disease. Everybody in this room will experience trials. Everybody in this room will experience those types of things. Everybody. And so, how do we make it through those times? We trust in God, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, and then we as the body of Christ wrap around those people who are struggling. And it's a beautiful picture of who God's called us to be. So God's called us to comfort the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. There's a lot of people who are in bondage to certain things. There are people who are in bondage to addiction. There are people who are bondage to alcohol, drugs, pornography. But there's also people, you know, it's always funny, those are the things that we think of first, but there's also people who are in bondage to envy and jealousy and gossip and backbiting and bitterness and unforgiveness. And you're taken captive, you're in bondage, you're a prisoner, you've created your own prison. But God, that Jesus says, basically, I've come to set the prisoners free and to set the captives free. In the same sense, through the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he does that, but he uses us to be the mouthpiece, to be the arms that hold people who are struggling with addiction and help them walk through it. He uses us. That's why relationships are so important. And here's what the enemy wants more than anything else. He wants you to buy into a lie that you don't need relationships. That's why so many of you in this room isolate yourself on a regular basis from the body of Christ, because the devil has lied to you and you bought into the lie and you might not even recognize it. See, God knew that we needed each other. It talks about it all through Scripture, number one. But listen, if we did not need relationships in the body of Christ, you would have been the only one created. You'd be the only one that was ever created. But God knew that we needed each other. So he created relationship. Talk to me. Come on, baby. She's mad at me. Don't throw nothing. Listen, here's why I think small groups are important. Number one, you connect there. You build lifelong relationships, best friends. There should be a place of protection, a safe place to take off the Sunday morning mask and just be real. That's one thing I hate about church, is how many people wear their mask to church. And you almost have to, because you really feel like people are going to judge you. Because honestly, we're really good at judging people. I'll come back to that in just a minute. You don't leave. Don't go to the bathroom in that session. All right? It's a place to grow, a place to grow spiritually. A place that people who are lost can come to a small group before they come to church and give their life to Christ. It's a place to serve. We serve one another in small groups. When you join a small group, if you have somebody die that you're close to inside your small group, then it's your small group that takes care of that person. If you're sick or you're in the hospital, it's the small group that takes care of that person. Because we're family, we take care of each other. We get to know each other. We serve one another. We help one another. And so it's very important that we do these things. Some of you say, well, why is small groups important? Well, number one, here's what I need you to understand, is that I believe, you know, small groups, we call it a free market small group. That basically you take your life and you place a group in it. You do what you do in life, and you put other people around you in that group. Whatever you do, we're not asking you to cut out more time of your busy life. We're asking you that whatever you do in life, that you take that part and invite people to come alongside of you and go with you. It's amazing how it works. It's absolutely incredible. And so, in the area of small groups, We believe that it's vital, that it's important, that it really ministers to a lot of people. There's reasons why I believe that it's important. I think about a guy named Curtis. Curtis was a guy from Jasper. His wife walked out on him. He felt like he had lost everything. He was in unbelievable, uncontrollable depression. Had nobody to turn to. The guy that he worked for actually went to our church. He got Adam Hicks connected with Curtis. And here's what Adam said. Adam didn't invite him to church first. Adam invited him to a trivial pursuit, a trivia small group at the local restaurant. Now listen, Adam does not need to go to the trivia because he's not very good at trivia. And that would be the last. If you see me at a trivia, a small group, I got lost, okay? Because you don't want me on your team because I am not very good with trivia, all right? Now here's the big picture. Curtis goes to this trivia small group because he has nobody. About a month or a month and a half later, he finds Adam and he tells me, he says, man, there's something about those people. Those people that I do trivia night with, that every time I leave them, I'm better. I become a better person. There's something in them that I desire, and when I walk away, it challenges me to be better. A trivia small group. And so, about a month later, Adam goes up to him and basically says, hey, listen, you've come to trivia night almost every night we've had. You've come to this small group on a regular basis. You've got to know all these people. He said, why aren't you coming to church? Why don't you come to church one day? Why aren't you coming? And Curtis says, you have no clue what I said to God, the words that I said to God when my wife walked out on me and I don't feel like I can go to church. And Adam, just as lovingly as he could say, basically said, God knew the words that you was going to say before you ever said them. God knew that your wife would leave you before she ever left you. And God died on the cross for you, even knowing that you were going to say those things to him, cursing him. He knew you was going to say, but he still died for you. Why? Because he's in love with you, Curtis. And you need to let people inside this church love you also. Why don't you come to church this Sunday? And Curtis comes to church. And he gives his life to Christ radically. And now Adam's got him serving in the production. I don't know what it is about the production. For anybody who's here last week, Tony got stuck in production too. Curtis works in production now. And he's serving like crazy there. Every time the doors are open, God's radically changed him. And he started with the people who are doing trivia. I think about a lady named Renee, who her family members put on Facebook, not Renee, but her family members who don't go to Desperation Church, her family members put on Facebook. They said, thank you, Desperation Church, and listed off the names of the people that led it. I don't know how they knew the names, but they knew the names. And they said, thank you for your jewelry making small group. By the way, everybody in this room's a 10 at something. Everybody's a 10 at something. I couldn't make jewelry if I wanted to, all right? Listen, there's so many things I want to say right now, but we're at church. I can't make it, all right? I'm not a clam. I can't make pearls, all right? Listen, but there are people in this room that can make jewelry that other people are passionate about making jewelry with you. And this family member put on Facebook, thank you, Desperation Church. Renee had an aneurysm 5 years ago. And she's stayed isolated her whole entire life. And somebody challenged her. Somebody encouraged her to get out of her comfort zone and come to a small group. She didn't feel like anybody would accept her. She says, but as soon as she walked in, her life has been radically changed since that moment. From a jewelry-making small group. So much so that it's affected the family, that the family that doesn't even go to our church says, thank you for what you've done in my daughter's life. There's something special about that. There's something special about that. So there's several reasons why we do small groups. You know, the first thing I would say in the area of why we do relationships, why we do small groups. Number one, and you can write this down if you want to, that you need to live by this. we is always better than me. We is always better than me. Once again, if God didn't, you know, want to have relationships, you would be the only one that was ever created. So he created people around us to do life together with. People who are of the same mind. We may have different personalities. We may have different gifts. We may have different talents. But we have one common thread that runs through us, and his name is Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that runs through all of us as believers. And so because of that one common thread, we can be united together in one mind and one purpose and do life together. It's what I say on a regular basis. We change the world together. We do it together with what you're great at. At Desperation Church, if you're good at jewelry making, you can do a small group. If you're good at trivia, you can do a small group. My interest is different than some of y'all. I'm going to my small group at 2:00. We're teeing off. I wouldn't be able to do that if we was doing 5 services. Thank you, Jesus. Dance right here. All right? Listen. Whoop. Listen. I am fired up that I can go at 2:00 with my small group and play golf. Because everybody's attended something. And it's amazing, in the context of a relationship, spiritual growth happens. Listen, the Holy Spirit 100% teaches us how to grow. In the Word, in prayer, God, the Holy Spirit grows us, but God has a plan also for the Holy Spirit in other people to help us grow. For those who are in love with Jesus, for those that are exploding with Jesus, for those that are growing like crazy with Jesus, there's a great possibility there are other people surrounding you that are ahead of you just a little bit that's teaching you how to walk with Jesus. I bet you can name them all for me. I can name several of mine off. I've got a bunch of people who have helped me grow spiritually. It's called discipleship. And it takes place in the context of relationships. That's how it happens. This is what Acts 2:42 says. It says, all the believers, all of them, not some of them, I would step out and say that the greatest example, the most pure example of the church would be the very first one. I think that's the one we probably need to look at 2,000 years later. The very first church, this is what they did. All the believers devoted themselves. They devoted. The word devoted means strong loyalty. They were loyal to these areas in the church. They were loyal, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And hey, it's kind of crazy that right after the apostles' teaching, the very next thing it says is, and they were devoted to fellowship. Not talking to themselves, fellowship with each other. They were devoted, strong loyalty to each other. And to sharing in meals. They were Baptist, because that's what we used to do when I went to the Baptist church. We would always have fried chicken, potato salad with some gravy somewhere involved, and it was good, right? And it's usually on the grounds, whatever that means. Listen, it says, and to sharing meals and to prayer, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. A deep sense of awe came over them all. You know what my prayer has been for ever since we have started Desperation Church for you, is that when you walk through those doors, there's a deep sense of awe that comes over you when you walk into the house of God. Because the presence of God just sweeps you away. I'm hoping that many of you experienced it during worship. I think that's the reason why most people enjoy Wednesday nights the most. That's one of their favorite nights of the week. It's because at Converge at prayer, it's amazing how the presence of God is just thick. It's just a deep sense of awe. And I'm hoping that a lot of you had a deep sense of awe when you came in and saw some of your best friends that you met at this church. That you're just in awe of the people that you do life with because of what God's doing in their life and in your life. It says, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They were full of generosity. Why? Because they were more about we than me. What does the secular world teach us? That it's all about you, baby. Obey your thirst. Have it your way. That's completely against kingdom principles. Kingdom principles is it's more about we than me. That's where satisfaction is found. And so what they had was not their own. And if there's somebody in need, they took care of them. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while, wait, I missed it. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. So they were enjoying God and they were enjoying each other. They were enjoying God and they were enjoying each other. They were enjoying God and they were enjoying each other. You know, there's a lot of us that enjoy God, but there's a lot of us in this room that don't enjoy each other. And that's a sad statement on the church. Because if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, He should be working in you the fruit of the Spirit, which starts with love, which is the umbrella for the rest of them. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Listen, you know what I think is pretty cool about this text? I don't know if you caught it or not. They didn't just spend time together in the temple or in the church. That outside the four walls of the temple, they met in their homes together. Kind of sounds like small groups. Small groups is biblical. They shared meals. Here's what I think is beautiful, and some of you may completely disagree with this, but you can't disagree with what the scripture says. Christians and lost people, unbelievers, believers and unbelievers were eating together. I believe they were praying together, enjoying one another, and the Bible says that people were being saved daily. There's something about the body of Christ, the people of God, when they get together and they're walking in sanctification, doing everything they can to put off the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And God, I want you to put the fruit of the Spirit inside of me, which is incredibly powerful. God, use me. When we're all on the same page doing that together, it's amazing the power of the unity in that the world outside of the church sees, and it radically changes their lives. So much so that we see right here in Scripture that God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Curtis would have never gotten saved if he didn't go to a small group with people. Those people, there's something different about those people, Adam. Those people. He'd never given his life to Christ if it wasn't for those people at a trivia night. By the way, those are just a couple. I could stand up here the rest of the day and tell stories. Some of you have your own story. Listen, circles are always better than rows. Circles are always better than rows. Life change happens in the context of relationships. You know, there's this word going around right now. It's the word tribes. You know, our student ministry, they use that for their small groups. They call them tribes. And tribes is a group of people who have the same interest. It's a group of people who have the same interest. I found my tribe. Me and my tribe are meeting today at 2 o'clock. I've already told you that. My question to you is have you found your tribe inside the body of Christ? Have you found your tribe? The people who carry the same interest as you. Some of you may say, well, Pastor Andy, I've tried it once, and they were not my people, so I'm never going again. Oh, my goodness. Listen, there's a great possibility at one time you ate something that made you sick, but you didn't quit eating. There's a great possibility that your team lost. Really bad illustration right now. That your team lost. You didn't quit rooting for your team. Huh? So what you do is you keep searching for your tribe. You search for the people who have the same interest as you do. You keep going, you keep moving, you keep looking, and you keep searching. Listen, I know we love church services. We love youth services. We love kid services. But lives will be changed only through relationships. Relationship with God, relationships with others. That's how my life changed. That's how I got here today, because of people like David Jett, because of people like Jamin Grubbs, because of people like Lane Schrantz, because of people like Keith Varden. I'm sorry, not Keith. No, I would kick him to the curb. I'm just kidding. Travis Keys, Caleb Jets. Those people make me who I am today. Relationships. Who are those people in your life? Listen, I grew up in church, but I was still lost. And one of the reasons why I was lost and got out of church is because I surrounded myself with the wrong tribe. I surrounded myself with the wrong people. And it wasn't until I got around the most encouraging, Jesus-loving people that I started seeing real life change in my life. Real life change. The people you hang around, do they make you better? Do they challenge you to be more in love with Jesus? Do they challenge you to live out who God's called you to be? Or are you stagnant? Are you the same person when you left your group of people as you was when you started hanging out with that group of people? Because what God's called us to do as the body of Christ is to spur one another on, to move one another, to challenge one another, to be great for the kingdom of God. And you can't do that if you listen to the lies of the enemy and you isolate yourself away from the people of God. It can't happen. Sundays are great. Sundays are phenomenal, but small groups is how we live out life. Isaiah 61, to bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, proclaim that captives will be released, and prisoners will be freed. We do small groups to bring good news, the good news of Jesus to people. Curtis says, thank you. And so many other people say, thank you. We also do it for the purpose of letting each other know, hey, you're going to make it. You don't have to do life alone. God's for you. Jesus paid it all for you. God's got this. We encourage each other. I had a couple walk in who's on our DC Connect team who are incredible leaders at our church. They came today inside, and they were kind of downcast. And they do foster care. And these kids that they'd had for 9 months, they thought they were going to keep forever. But the judge said, no, take them back to the mom and dad overnight. So overnight, they took these kids that they're raising and they absolutely love and had to give them up. That's a hard deal. It's funny, the guy that I'm talking to, you know, he's a comedian. He's really funny. He said, I knew I should have done that life group, that freedom group that I'm doing. Holy cow. All hell's breaking loose. He starts talking about how his roof's leaking, his glass doors on his shower, like, broke. Like, that's kind of awkward walking in the bathroom on that. Listen, this is a really bad heart. I've got to fix my jokes. Listen, and so he's telling me all the things that's happened this week. And I said, hey, Heath, you remember when we talked about that sermon where I talked about with every win, there's a war. That the enemy hates when you do great things for the kingdom. And what he was saying was because I'm doing this freedom life group and God's doing incredible things in the guys' lives around me, that the enemy hates it with a passion, and I knew he was going to attack me and I just didn't know I was ready for it. But here's the big picture. Heath and Susan are changing lives like crazy because they're following Jesus, and the enemy hates it and he's attacking them. But I was able to encourage them. And other people got around them and encouraged them and spurred them on and reminded them of the why. I know that everything seems to be breaking down around you, but the why is that you're changing a lot of people's lives, is getting set free from religion, and who's actually in your small groups going to give their life to Christ for the first time. That's the why. Focus on the why. Why are you doing it? The devil wants you to get focused on the what. God wants you to focus on the why. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. Listen, so if you've been through something or you're going through something, and the reality is honestly, everybody's going through something. All of us are going to have a broken heart at some time. Really, you need relationships. You need somebody to spur you on. I went and did my aunt's funeral yesterday in Homewood, and I'm seeing my cousins stand up there, and they needed people to wrap around them in that moment. It was amazing. All the family and all the friends who came by to give their regrets were weeping with them and hugging them. That's why we need each other, because all of us will be in those moments at some point. And we need strength when we are weak from the body, from people. You know what I believe keeps most people from doing small groups is wounds. The reason why there's people in this room that's been going to our church from the very beginning, or maybe been going for several years and you've never gone to a small group, what's keeping you from going to a small group is because somebody in the past has hurt you and you're wounded and you said, I'll never get hurt again. Can I tell you something? That's why you need a small group. And I'm talking to a lot of people in this room right now. That's why you need one. We're gonna come back to that. Don't leave. Small groups, freedom groups, it helps clean the smudge off of your spiritual glasses so you can see life. You can see people. You can see ministry. You can see God, and you can see yourself through a clear lens. And all of this happens through the relationships that are formed. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's misconceptions out there. There's misconceptions about a small group. There's a lot of you that think that if I go to a small group, then I'm going to have to do everything to around that hour or so that I'm there. It's just kind of be this confession time. Right? We're just all going to be just confessing our dirty laundry, just throwing it out there. It's so far from the truth. That's not what it's about. There's a lot of you that are freaked out that you're going to have to, tell your deepest, darkest secrets. Listen, we would never do that. But what I can tell you is that you can have deep, dark secrets and belong to a small group. Because I think most everybody in here has got something in their life. You know, the cool thing is that you don't have to do it alone. And you're not going to be judged. You're going to be around people who are real. We better be, by the way. Can I just share my heart with you for half a second? There's going to be some people that might disagree with this. And I shared this a little bit last week when I was talking about Caitlin Crawford, and I won't even go into that again. If you missed that, you watch it on TV, but she was a bartender and got saved. But I was thinking about that this week, about how all the people she ministered to and all the people that gave their life to Christ, the owner of the restaurant got saved through her. And I started thinking about how sad it is. There's something wrong with this picture that I'm about to share with you. How sad is it when people have things that they're struggling with, their hearts are broken, maybe it's addiction, maybe they're a prisoner to bondage of some sort in their life, maybe they're going through really difficult times, that the first place they go to is the pub, the local pub, the bar. And they begin to drown their sorrows in their liquor. And they begin to tell everybody behind the counter all the things that they're dealing with. And there's a great possibility, not unless they're like Caitlin Crawford, who I talked about last week, who's kind of undercover Jesus, bartender kind of stuff. There's a great possibility that the lies that this person's been told, they're just feeding the lies even more. Because the only answer to the brokenhearted, to those who are in addiction, to those who are prisoners, to those who've been taken captive, the only answer is Jesus. And what's really sad is that the church is the last place these people would ever come to let their hair down. What's wrong with that picture? Why don't people come to the church to let their hair down? Because we tell people they got to be perfect before they come to church. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? That's so far from the truth. The first place that the people on the west side and the east side of Coleman City should come to find hope, to find life, to find a place where they can drown their sorrows and be comforted should be the church. But all of you who've been going to church long enough have heard this phrase. We are absolutely incredibly great at shooting and killing our wounded. There's something wrong with that picture. Number one, we don't understand our own depravity. We don't understand the depth of it. And then number two, we don't understand the beauty of the cross. And here's what I would challenge you. I believe everybody in this room needs a safe place to where they can let their hair down. And I'll be honest with you, Desperation Church needs to be a safe place for people. Because we understand where we came from and where God's taken us and where we are today because of the good news. And we're not shocked when somebody comes and spills the beans to us about whatever's going on in their life, that we restore them, we rebuild them, we revive them, and we point them to the same Jesus that rescued us when our beans were being spilled. Listen. We've got to be a safe place. That doesn't mean that we go around and we basically agree that they can just go out and live in sin. That's stupid. We want to get them set free from that. So we give them Jesus. I wonder how many of us are a safe place for people. I wonder how many people in this room are lock and key and throw it away. I wonder how many people in this room, are you a person that if I came to you with my secrets, that you would spill them out all over Coleman County if I gave them to you today? Because that's what most people think is going to happen if I share my struggles with people. That everybody in Coleman going to know about it. Why? Because there's not very many safe people, and the church should be the safest. Believers should be the safest, and we point them to Jesus. We give them Jesus. He's their hope. A pub is not the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of the world. We give them truth where the world will continue to pile on the lies. And it's a lie from the enemy. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something really wrong with that. And if you disagree with everything I just said, you need to check your theology. And you need to understand the good news. You need to go back and check out Calvary again and see what Calvary's about. I'm not preaching grace to where we go out and do whatever we want to, because that's what people want me to say. That's not what I'm saying. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and yes to right living. Grace teaches us to understand the beauty of who God is, which causes us not to want to sin anymore. It's what grace is. It's beautiful. And we received it when we gave our life to Christ, and we should share it with other people. We need more safe places for people to discover Jesus. There's so much I want to say. So you mean to tell me I don't have to follow Jesus to attend a small group? Absolutely. You mean I can have an open sin in my life and belong to a small group? Absolutely. You know why? Because I believe eventually through God's people and through the Holy Spirit, God's going to set you free from that open sin. You mean to tell me I can be an atheist and still belong to a small group? Yes, please come. We've had atheists come to our small group. Not all of them have given their life to Christ, but I've seen some give their life to Christ. You need a small group. I need a small group. We all need relationships. God created fellowship for the body of believers for the purpose of encouraging one another. You are made for a relationship. We is always better than me. Life change happens in small groups. So how do I connect to a small group? Well, number one, we've got to make room. Three ways I want you to understand about how to connect with a small group. We make room. People always talk about time being an issue. We make room in our lives to be a part of a small group. People always use the excuse of, I don't have enough time. I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. Listen, I want to tell you that you will always make time for that which holds the most value to you. You'll always make time for that which makes more, for that which holds the most value to you. So what holds the most value? What do you make the most time for? God says that the first church, the Bible says the first church devoted themselves to each other. They devoted themselves to relationships. So how much are you being strong loyalty to the other believers inside the body? And God using your gifts and your encouragement to help each other, spur each other on. You got to make room in your life for small groups. Make room for relationships. Hebrews 10, 25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us not forsake the assembling of the brethren, as other translations say. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. I wonder who the some people, as some people do is in this room. Are you one of the some people that do neglect? Are you one of those? Because the devil's duped you. He's lying to you because you need the people around you. I need the people around you. You need the people around you. Are you one of the some people that do, one of those people? But encourage one another. The Bible talks about spurring one another on. It's kind of like getting a picture of a spur, kicking a horse, trying to get them to move. Spur one another on. Encourage one another. Move them forward. Do it together. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So we encourage one another. We push past our thoughts. So how do we connect to a small group? Well, number one, you make room. Number two, you push past your thoughts. So there's a valley before every mountaintop. And the hardest part of finishing is starting. The reason why you've never finished a small group is because you've never started a small group. Starting is harder for a lot of you than finishing. You know, if you've never been a part of a small group, there's a giant valley of thinking between where you are now and actually joining a small group, getting in areas of relationship, fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And that valley, here's the valley for many of you. The valley is fear and pride and insecurity and uncertainty and false expectations and excuses and distrust. It goes back to what I said just a minute ago. The reason why so many people in this room have never gotten involved in relationships, if we really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's because somebody's hurt you. Somebody's hurt you. And you're wounded. Now, you would deny that. Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Won't you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you why you don't like getting around people? I guarantee you, he's going to take you back to a place where mom or dad or coach or teacher or friend or somebody hurts you so bad that you place walls around your heart that you say, I will not let anybody else in to hurt me. When in reality, you need people in your life, not to hurt you, but help you get set free. Hey, and isn't it amazing that it's always that one or two or three or four that hurt us, that keeps us from the thousands that want to love us? Listen, you got to push past the pain. You got to give it a shot. Is there a great possibility somebody could hurt you again at some small group at Desperation Church? 100%, because there's a lot of people here. People hurt people, but the majority of people in this church and the majority of people, period, will more than likely love you than they will hurt you. And they better happen in this church for sure. Because we want to be Jesus. You got to push past the pain. It's amazing how many men, it's mostly men, by the way, it's mostly men. I'm shooting straight. It's mostly men that will not step foot in a small group. I'll never join one of those small groups. Why? Why? I don't need them. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Be a man. Overcome your fears. Get honest. Your insecurities. Let God set you free with other men who's tapped into the real man, Jesus Christ. He's a real man. Don't let your pride hold you back. Don't let the lies of the enemy hold you back from getting to know your best friends in the entire world. The other thing I say is, how do I get connected? Well, a lot of you got cell phones. I challenge you right now to pull them cell phones out. Go to Safari, type in desperationchurch.tv. Up in the right corner, it says small groups. Click on small groups and go find one. They've only been going for 2 or 3 weeks. You got plenty of time to get plugged in. Why aren't you in one? Why aren't you in one? Why aren't you in one? I don't need them. Yes, you do. I don't have time. What do you value? That's time. Where's most of your time? You'd be blown away what God can do. Maybe you say, Andy, no one would want to be friends with me. Or maybe you feel like you've done way too much in your life. You've messed your life up. Those people won't accept me. They better accept you. And if they don't accept you, you better come call the church. Find pastor. We'll handle that. And honestly, there's a great possibility people are accepting you, but just not the way you think they should accept you. It may be you. Put it back on you. Take that. Those people won't accept me. You know, one thing I know about the people in this church, and nobody's perfect in this church, and there are some jerks. I guarantee, out of the crowds that we have come, there's got to be some jerks that come to our church. I'm just going to tell you. There's somewhere. I know some of you. I'm going to tell you, too, when the service is over. Listen. But the majority of people here are incredibly Jesus-loving people. I remember, this is the last thing I'm going to say. It's probably not a great thing to end on, but I'm going to tell you anyway. My daughter, we went to my grandpa's funeral several months ago. Me and Travis and my daughter went, and we stopped at David Jett, my spiritual mentor. A lot of you guys know who he is. We stopped at his house on the way. He lives in Mississippi. My grandpa's funeral was in Louisiana. We spent the night there. And we walk into his house, and my little girl just blows groceries everywhere. I mean, like projectiles hanging from the ceiling. It's all over. Like, whoa! Listen. I can't handle it. I mean, I can't do it. You know what Travis did? I'm in there going, woo, woo. I'm trying, woo. I'm like, hey, but I had to clean both of us up. Travis takes his shirt and look like a pirate. He wraps it around his neck and he puts it around his nose and his mouth and he ties it up and he gets on his hands and knees and he starts cleaning it up. Until the place was clean, spotless. I didn't look at Avery and say, nope, you did it. You clean it up. And don't you come out till you get it all cleaned up. See, the people that I know here at Desperation, that I know, that's been coming for a while, they're the people that will take your mess, put their mask on because it's messy, and they'll get up and they'll clean it up for you. Clean it up with you. Clean it up. Some of you never experienced that because you've never been loved like that. But there's people in this room and the service before that wants to love you like that. Why don't you let somebody in to love you? Don't worry about the ones. There's always going to be jerks out there. But why don't you let the thousands that want to love you into your life and kick the jerks to the curb? I'm sure you've probably never heard a pastor say that. You have now. And I'm spitting everywhere. My mouth is so dry. It's a Sahara desert. I got cactuses in here. Listen. God wants to move in your life. He wants to move on you. He wants to use the body, relationships, to help you grow in Jesus. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let's pray. Father, we love you.